Hi, I'm Harriet Thomas. Welcome to There's a Walk for That. I'm not a doctor or a fitness expert, just someone who discovered a simple daily habit that transformed my health and my happiness. From easing stress to boosting your energy, there really is a walk for that. Each week, I explore the power of walking and share simple tips to help you make it part of your day. And I bring you our trail mix, three songs chosen by my guests to reflect their life and their passions. I've got something special for you too. My book, Walk Yourself Wonderful, is launching soon. If you're interested in discovering a powerful daily practice that works in harmony with your body's natural design to help you go from frazzled and fatigued to fit and full of joy, then find me on Facebook or Instagram at Feel Good Walk. Just DM me the word joy to join the waiting list and get the book before its official release at half price. So let's get on with the show. Now, if you've listened to this show for a while, you'll know I talk a lot about walking as a tool, not just for fitness, but for real, tangible changes in how your body feels. And I've experienced that myself in quite a profound way. So today I wanted to explore that with somebody who understands the body from a clinical perspective, osteopath Phyllis Woodfine. So welcome to the show, Phyllis. It's great to have you here.
Hi, lovely to be here, Harriet.
So, Phyllis, we met at a networking event, and I know you wear many, many hats alongside your work in osteopathy. So can you start by telling us a little bit about yourself and what you do?
Yeah. So I came to osteopathy probably from a little bit of a circuitous route. The main reason I knew about it was I used to do a lot of sports. So when I was a teenager, in fact, I was a sprinter as well. I used to do a lot of sprinting. I did lots of athletics, lots of different sport. Not that you'd know to look at me now. But I had a few injuries because I was a bit hypermobile. And unusually at the time, my dad had seen an osteopath because he had a bad back and said, you need to go and see an osteopath. So I did. And had great experience with them, saw them for a while, but they never thought much more about, is that something I'd want to do? So I trained as a, I think I've said to you before, I trained as a building surveyor and got to the age of 30, thought, not really what I want to do anymore. What should I do differently? So I did massage, aromatherapy, reflexology. And because I was also meditating quite a lot, because I'd studied a bit of Buddhism, it dropped in whilst I was meditating that I should retrain to be an osteopath. So obviously it was somewhere around the unconscious mind that was drifting in and out of there. And so that's when I retrained. And then as a result, I've probably done a few other things, mainly because of the fact that I ended up teaching osteopathy as well and still do. And I did student support. And student support for mature students who were doing it wasn't so much, I can't do my essay. It was more around, this is happening in life. So, you know, what can I do? Whatever. So I ended up coaching them and not knowing that that's what I was doing until I then trained as a coach and talking to them about their breath and all these other things that came in. So as a result, I've carried on adding to my smorgasbord of things that I do, of modalities that I do.
You're listening to There's a Walk for That with me, Harriet Thomas, here on UK Health Radio. And this is the show where we explore how you can use the superpower of the daily walk to transform your physical and mental health. And today I'm talking with coach and osteopath Phyllis Woodfine. Well, I say coach and osteopath, but I should say coach, osteopath, buildings inspector, dancer, pianist, so many things. So I'd love to start with something that is personal to me. When I was 59, my work very much involved sitting down at a desk. So I'd sit at my desk for many hours. You know, backache was just a part of everyday life. My knees hurt when I walked upstairs and I had really painful sciatica. And I thought, well, this is just normal, right? This is just, I'm getting older. It's just how it is. And then one night, I remember exactly the date. It was the 15th of August, 2022. I woke up at 4 a.m. I needed to go to the loo, as we do, but I couldn't move my legs. because the pain was so intense that even the tiniest movement sent massive pain shocks through my back and my and down my legs. So I it was like I couldn't use my legs. And it took me 5 minutes to slowly slide out of bed and onto the floor. And I literally had to crawl to the toilet and pull myself up just using my arms. You know, I just remember feeling terrified because I thought, if this is me at 59, what am I going to be like at 69 or 79? And so that's when I decided, okay, my body is obviously collapsing. I need to have one like final adventure. And I booked a 5-day hiking trip to Morocco that was amazing. But when I came back, my pain had gone. My body was just moving without pain. I went up the stairs without my knees hurting. Nothing was creaking. My back wasn't hurting. I had no sciatica. I had loads of energy. I had no stiffness. I was just like superwoman. You know, I just had this incredible sense of ease and vitality. And that's when I decided, right, this is it. If walking makes me feel like this, I literally have got to walk every single day. Doesn't matter what the deadlines are, doesn't matter if it's raining, doesn't matter if I don't feel like it, nothing has to get in the way of my daily walk. 4 years later, it's still the truth. If I walk every day, I don't have any aches and pains. If I slip up and I forget, they come back just so quickly. So I'd love to hear from your perspective as an osteopath, you know, does that story make sense? Is there some, what's happening there?
Yeah, that's often a story I hear. And that's actually from people of all different ages. And I think probably it makes a lot of sense because with a lot of people, this prolonged sitting is what you're talking about.
Yeah.
As humans, our bodies are designed to move. We're mammals, we're animals, we're designed to move, not to have these static postures where we stay in one position for long periods of time. And unfortunately, 20th century and 21st century living particularly is trying to force us into doing, well, I say force that, we're forcing ourselves into doing that. Mm. And, you know, that long sitting can create pain and also give pain sensation to the nervous system. That reduced movement, it basically creates like a cycle of back pain around, you know, the backs, the hips, all the surrounding muscles. They become sort of like stiff and less tolerant to movement. And it's just like that perpetual, that catch 22, because if you get up and then you sit back down again for long periods of time, you just keep on getting that. And our bodies, as I said, are designed to move. So once we actually go off on a hike or something, you know, something consistently a walking routine, that can almost reset the system because that sitting down, as I said, it's just perpetuating it. Muscles no longer, you know, like we say, we might lose our butt a little bit, for want of a better word, because those muscles start to atrophy. They're not being used. They're switching off. So actually using those muscles again can help. So probably a good way to explain it is almost like when we're sitting for a long time, for long periods of time, those tissues become loaded in that same position. Because for hours, we're not moving the joints, or they're moving a little bit less. The muscles, as I said, switch off. And the nervous system almost becomes a little bit protective of things. So that often feels like pain, tightness, or we'll get, you know, sciatic type pain down the back of the leg. We'll get sciatic symptoms. And so that's what's happening when we're just sitting in one position for a long time. It's baked into our system, into Western living, is that, you know, we sit and do things. And really what we need to be doing is moving. So, you know, I talk a lot to patients about sit-stand desks. You don't want to be standing for a long period of time, but equally you don't want to be sitting. So it's that movement. I still can do the things that I used to be able to, most of them. I can't quite cartwheel around the room like I did even in my 30s. But it's because I keep on trying to move. And what I've noticed is in the recent years, and especially since the lovely pandemic, I spent more time on the computer. So I've started to get a little bit more pain because I'm not moving as much. So I try. My desk at the moment is a sit-stand desk. I'm sometimes I use it and I feel like a bit of a hypocrite when I talk to my patients and saying to them, you know, this is something that you should do, you know, try and move. It makes all the difference. And we do need to be talking to our young people about this and not having them sitting down all the time.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
So welcome back. You're listening to There's a Walk for That with me, Harriet Thomas, here on UK Health Radio. And this is the show where we explore how you can use the superpower of the daily walk to transform your physical and mental health. And today I'm talking to coach and osteopath Phyllis Woodfine to get a deeper understanding of what is happening when we sit down and when we walk. And just before the break, Phyllis was actually explaining how having back pain isn't necessarily to do with your age, because I think, Phyllis, that's what a lot of us think as we get older. I think especially as a woman, you sort of think, oh, I'm in my 50s, you know, menopause has hit, and everything seems to tell us that, you know, we have to expect that our body's just going to crumble, basically. But what you're saying is actually anyone can have backache, whatever age you are. It's more to do with the misuse of the back, and one of the big misuses of the 20th and 21st century is this sitting down. And it's interesting, you were talking about standing desks and sitting desks, but it's interesting because behind you, you've got statues of the Buddha who's sitting cross-legged. And when I went to a Vipassana silent retreat, I was worried about the sitting down because we had 10 hours of meditation a day. So I thought, I'm going to get my sciatica back because I can't walk enough. But I didn't, because what I found was my body really felt great sitting cross-legged. So I didn't get any back pain or hip pain or anything like that. Is there something about the sitting that we do in the chair? Is that a particularly bad way of sitting, do you think?
So there's a few things that you've said there. I'm going to come back to a couple if that's okay, if I may. So the thing with, as a woman and as we're getting older and getting more pain and the rest of it, yes, we might get more joint aches and pains, but that's to do with the reduced estrogen, so the hormone changes, and because those help with the collagen fibers, so that helps that, and we get a reduction in that. So that's why we might, not necessarily will, might get that. But as we get older per se, whether or not that's men or women, no, it doesn't mean that we have to suddenly have pain. The difference is, if we have pain, it might take longer for us to recover from an injury than when we were younger. That's a difference. But it's not just because we're getting older. Yeah, there might be more wear and tear. So we might get osteoarthritis, which is a wear and tear, because we've been using those joints more. But then the way to help that, again, is to move, to start lubricating the joints. And so coming back to now what you're saying about sitting, yes, because we're locking out all of those joints when we sit in a chair. You know, I might use the example of the gamer who is in the most comfortable chair. They make sure their chair is comfortable so that they can sit there for hours on end. They will get pain because they're still in this chair that's locked them in a position. It might feel comfortable at the time, but then they've got to get up from there. And the joints, you know, the supporting muscles, they have now had this load put on them for a long period of time. Right. Whereas when we're sitting cross-legged, and I will admit I can't do that as well nowadays, but that might be from the hurdling and stuff that I did when I was younger. We're in a different position. We're not loaded and locked down in quite the same way. You know, those first few movements as we get up from sitting down might feel sort of like a little bit painful or restricted. But as we start to move about a bit, they'll be better. They won't feel as bad. So, yeah, I think it's more to do with the position that we're in, as well as that lockdown. We're not moving, you know, sitting for 8-9 hours or whatever it is.
I think it's interesting what you were saying about injury. For me, that's one of the great things about walking, because you can literally do it at your own level, at your own pace, for the length of time that suits you. you know, and when you do it every day, you just build up your strength and your fitness without even noticing and without injury. And I think that's one of the fantastic things about walking.
Yeah, I mean, it is one of the best low impact ways to support your musculoskeletal system, your health. You know, it is your back, it's helping things move, it's lubricating. Because you're moving, the muscles are being lubricated. You've now got the fluid that's moving around the body, i.e. the blood, the lymphatic system, all of those. So it's all helping the body to keep doing what it was designed to do in the first place.
Okay, that's really interesting you say that, because my sense when I'm walking, when I walk every day, is that it's exactly what you've just said. I just feel that everything works better. Like my digestion works better. My absorption of sugar seems to work better. I don't get so many spikes and stuff. I sleep better. Everything in my whole body just seems to work better. And that's just my experience. So what you're saying is that has some kind of physical truth behind it, if you like.
There is a physiological sense behind that. The body, when you're moving, you know, when you're breathing better, you're now absorbing oxygen, you're getting rid of the C, because we still need CO2 that people sometimes demonize a little bit. But what you're doing is you're getting rid of that, you're getting that oxygen in exchange in a better way. As a result of that, the blood is circulating a little better, you know, so those cells are being renewed. Everything is being lubricated. The lymphatic system is working because that moves just by muscles. It doesn't have a pump like the heart pumps the blood around. The lymphatics only move because the muscles are moving. Hence why when you're on a plane, you might find that, you know, your ankles get a little bit swollen because you're not moving anywhere and those lymphatics are just pooling there. So by you moving them, that's why you get those little exercises they give you, is because you're moving the muscles, that's moving that around. So you walking is doing that. Generally, if there's better blood flow, it's going to the visceral system. So the heart, the blood, the abdomen, so the stomach, everything is moving better as a result of you doing gentle movement. And it doesn't have to be a lot, but it's the fact that you're doing it. As I said, I'm always recommended to my patients that they move. And I say, you know, if you don't like exercise, I'm not saying that I want you to go and run a marathon or anything, but just get some movement. And that low impact walking, you can start doing that gradually. Build on what you're doing, build it up, and you will feel better.
You're listening to There's a Walk for That with me, Harriet Thomas, here on UK Health Radio. And this is the show where we explore how you can use the superpower of the daily walk to transform your physical and mental health. And today I'm talking to coach and osteopath Phyllis Woodfine to get a deeper understanding of what's happening when we sit down and when we walk. What I've sort of taken from it so far is that the body is designed to move. As you said before, our lifestyle, which involves a lot of sitting down, whether it's, you know, working or playing computer games and, of course, driving cars, and we haven't really been educated about how bad that is for us. So I wanted to ask you, for those people who think, oh yeah, I've just got back pain every day, but well, it's just how it is, how can they use walking to support a more healthy back and support a pain-free back, or to support the whole healthy functioning of their system?
So it goes back to some of what I was saying beforehand about that when we're walking and we're getting things circulating, there's more oxygen that we get in there. We also get that release of the endorphins, you know, some of the happy hormones that come up, you know, dopamine. If you sort of like see something that's wonderful there, that gives you, you know, you might see the bunny running across if you're in a field, if you're lucky, or you might even just see a child who's just running about and that you think, oh my gosh, how wonderful that is. So we're releasing some of those naturally happy hormones. So that's a great thing to get from it. You know, that's feeding our brains, that's feeding our psyche. But alongside that, what it's also doing is physiologically, because you are now getting more oxygen in and good stuff going into the body, that's going to help you sleep better. It's also because you've not just sat there. You know, when people talk about that 3 o'clock low, you know, you just sat there with a And it's that trying to then get back from that. And so therefore you don't have a decent night's sleep. So this can be one of the things that does help. It's clinically proven that that can help. And really it's how do we do it safely? And the way that we can do it safely is starting small and doing it regularly. Even just saying, right, I'm going to go out for 5 minutes. You know, if you've done nothing, go out for 5 minutes, 5 minutes out, then you've got to get back. So that's 5 minutes back. You've done 10 minutes of walking, 10 minutes that you wouldn't have done previously, and realizing that you don't need to power through the pain. You might feel a little bit of discomfort, i.e. this is a bit unusual. You know, this isn't quite me, you know, when you're doing something that's new. So take it gradually and slowly. And that's how you can do it. And then the benefits you will get from that will be that you've got good old oxygen into, you know, really good air into the lungs. The blood has started flowing around there, these muscles are now actually, oh, waking up because there's suddenly this fresh stuff going through them. It doesn't feel all stagnant. Just by doing those things, we can make a change.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back. You're listening to There's a Walk for That with me, Harriet Thomas, here on UK Health Radio. And today I'm talking to coach and osteopath Phyllis Woodfine. And we're getting a deeper understanding of what's happening when we sit down and when we walk. And we've been talking a lot about the breath. Without the breath, we don't live.
Yeah.
And of course, when we're walking, we're forced to breathe more deeply. Probably the most basic things about being a human, walking and breathing. And that's what we need to go back to. I was just having a walk in my local park and there was another lady having a walk and we just got talking. You know, she was talking about feeling like her body was against her. I understand what she meant. But the funny thing is that it's almost we've been against our bodies.
Yeah, totally. It's giving it the good stuff. You know, we recognize that, say, for example, if you've got a car and your car is supposed to be, you know, using unleaded petrol, that's a good stuff as far as the car's concerned. If you suddenly start putting diesel in there, it's not going to work. It's the same as us. What makes us feel as humans that if we start giving ourselves lots and lots of the bad stuff, that we're going to actually get a good result at the end. And I'm not saying to everybody, you know, you've got to give up alcohol, you've got to give up meat, or you've got to, you know, I'm not saying those things at all. But what I'm saying is that we have to be aware that if we're continually giving ourselves negative stuff, whether or not that's our thoughts, whether or not that's the food we're eating, you know, the lack of movement, then there's going to be a consequence.
Welcome back. You're listening to There's a Walk for That with me, Harriet Thomas, here on UK Health Radio. And today I'm talking to coach and osteopath Phyllis Woodfine. A lot of what we've talked about today comes back to keeping the body moving, building strength gradually, and also not being afraid to use something as simple as walking to support recovery and long-term health. So if people are listening and they're thinking, well, I'd really like support with this, maybe they have a back pain, how can they find out more about you and how can they find out about working with you?
I do have a website. They can go onto that. Probably the easiest one to give that is spelt easily is www.phyllis.woodfine, that's P-H-Y-L-L-I-S, Woodfine, woodfine.com. And that's both my coaching and then there's a link on there to the osteopathy website as well. I can find out from then, or even if they just Google me, they will see it will come up on that.
It's been a real pleasure to talk to you and to get your view on walking and the benefits of walking, how we can use it. And how much good it does for our entire system.
I really do believe that it is the whole mind-body connection.
Yeah, thanks so much, Phyllis. It's been wonderful talking to you.
My pleasure.
So sometimes we think we need something complicated to fix how we feel, but as we've heard today, often it starts with something as simple as just putting one foot in front of the other. So if you're ready to feel better in your body, start small, but do start. And if you'd like a bit of support and accountability, come and join my Walk Every Day WhatsApp group. It's full of brilliant people all doing exactly the same thing getting out, moving more, and feeling better for it. So there's a link in the show notes. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you once again, Phyllis. And as always, happy walking.